Today's What's Up Food podcast episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. I'm not only saying this because they're sponsoring us, but I really had it before, and it's good. Go to HelloFresh.com/Food12 and use code Food12, F-O-O-L-12, for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/Food12 and use code Food12 for 12 free meals and free shipping. What's up, Food Podcast? What's up, Food?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, dudes? What's up?
Damn, bro, what are you wearing, bro?
I don't know what's going on over there. He's ready for a riot. Dressed like a protester.
It's a hoodie, man. I'm ready. I'm Antifa, dude.
No, your pants, bro. You're wearing a fucking, you're instead of a sandbagging.
Oh, it's a pillow. It's a pillow.
You must be, he has that pillow like he's fucking full as hell.
I'm fucking full, dude. It hurts, man.
I thought that pillow was somebody's big ass thigh and some sweats.
I thought you wore some big ass slacks.
Slacks from the 40s.
Life vest over here.
Yeah, I lost my voice, bro. The 7 shows.
Dude, that's 7 shows in 3 days, dog. You know what I mean?
I think what it is, it's doing Toby Hicks.
Oh, hey, that was on Saturday night, dog, at the end. That was after 3 shows, too.
Yeah, oh, dude, you're up there for a long time.
I can't be up here screaming for free.
I know, man. I can't.
That's true, though,
I gotta save my boy for the real shows.
But you're up there for an hour each show. Like, dude, yeah, man. You're like talking nonstop. Of course it's gonna strain your voice, dude.
What are you gonna say, fool?
And then today I did a podcast. I did the dollop, but in Spanish.
Oh, with those fools? That's tight.
The history podcast, right?
It's going to come out on May 3rd.
Hell yeah.
Because the guy from the dollop is a homeboy that used to do the crab fest again.
No, it's he used to be, I don't know.
One of those guys is a breakoff from that big podcast. I mean, the dollop's pretty big too, dude.
The dollop's big, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now they're doing it in Spanish.
That's cool, dude.
Oh, really?
Dude,
there are so many podcasts, bro, like crime podcasts. And then there's a couple of podcasts that dedicate themselves to organized crime, but everything they talk about is stuff you already read or you saw on TV, dog.
The Last Don.
Yeah.
Henry Hill's cousin.
But there's one that deals with serial killers, and there's a lot of serial killers, bro.
I didn't know about that, dude. Like for them to have podcasts about just that, it's like there must be a lot, dude, you know?
Serial killers. There's one on just on what are those things called? Like Three Musketeers or the Knights of the Knight Templar and
Masons,
that type of stuff. What is that stuff called?
That's all like Six. I can't. Secret societies, Rasa.
Yes.
Trying to find the right term, you know?
Stonecutters.
Stonecutters, dog. Hell yeah.
Also known as Freemasons.
So, did you have fun in Houston?
I had an awesome time. The only thing, and I don't want to sound like I want to go over there and touch it again, but it just happened so fast, dude. One day we're on a Friday in the morning, and then back on Monday, dude. You know, sometimes we leave on a Wednesday, all right, cool. And we come back on a Monday. Not this time, dog. Bang, bang, bang.
It goes by quick, man. Like, it's just because you're having fun out there. Like you said, like the first day you get there, like, oh, we're going to be here for a while. And then next thing you know, it's Sunday night. You're like, oh, we got to wake up tomorrow morning to go back to L.A., dude.
Yeah, especially you and Vinny, dog. You guys went to get menudo. There was no more menudo. Orale, carnal. That food wouldn't. Orale, carnal. Orale, carnal.
The fool from the Felipe from the Carnales, dude.
I thought he was joking about the Carnales.
No, fool, they're called Los Carnales, dog. Because they wanted a Chicano tip on ska in America, dog. Like, you know, there was nobody really representing. You know, Voodoo did a couple songs in Spanish, but these fools wanted all Chicano, all raza. After every sentence, that fool was like, Orale, carnal. Orale, carnal. His name is, that's your tocayo, fool, Felipe Galvan, dog.
I saw that fool. Okay, man. I saw him all güero. I said he had to a lot of Spanish.
Oh, no, dude, and you know what's crazy? His dad was in a famous band in Mexico City. They're from Coahuila. I think they're called Los Johnnies. Los Yonix from Guerrero. Los Johnnies or El Johnny, Los Cinco, y Los Cinco Cabrones, some shit like that. I had to do my research. He was telling me all that shit, but dick, I was like in between sets, so I couldn't really pay attention. But yeah, dude. Orale, carnal.
Yeah, he said carnal a lot. Hey, carnalito. Hey, carnal.
Hey, orale, carnal. After every sentence, dude, he majored in Chicanics. Eh? Hey, but I was going to tell you, fool, that dick, I went on the tour with Voodoo, and they were opening up for Flogging Molly. This is like 2005, like a spring break tour, like 2 weeks. And the bass player from that band, he had some hash, dog, and I guess nobody in Flogging Molly smoked bud except for him. So he'd come and smoke us out, dog, in the shuttle. And then this fool, like, no matter what, dog, every night when he'd come and smoke weed with us, hey, guys, they start talking about music. Yeah, man, but there's these guys in Houston, Los Carnales. He would always mention it, and it was funny, dog. Yes, we heard about that band, dude. We played with them. What happened?
Who said that? Los Carnales.
The bass player Flogging Molly.
Oh, you know,
but he was one of those fools that's really cool and, like, you know, wanted to fuck, kind of like conky but not annoying, and like Jerry but not drunk. You know what I mean? Like, really fucking social fool, but cool, dog. With, you know, but yeah, Los Carnales. Yeah, I remember Los Carnales.
Hey, that reminds me when I posted that video of Prayers, and they were all like cholo goth, and then like some 55-year-old guy said, "Yeah, man, me and my roommate were like checking these guys out like one night, and they were like cholo and goth, and like we were like rad." Bro, everybody wrote, "What the fuck? 55-year-old guy with a roommate?"
right when you mentioned it, I was like, "Wait a minute, dude, you're a grandpa, bro." Hey, man.
You think there's still fools out there like that, man? Like 55, ready to go on tour?
Yeah, fool.
Jerry.
Except that fool. Like, he wants to play, but he doesn't want to go on tour no more. I've already been everywhere, man. I was gonna tell you though, that I read an article in Wall Street Journal that said, because of the pandemic, all these bands, you're going to have to find some roadies, because a lot of roadies moved on to other things, dude. Because they couldn't wait around, fool.
Are you serious?
I'm not messing with you, dude.
I never thought about that.
I'll send you the article. And it's because everybody had to move into work, move out of that industry to go work, fool.
You know what that means, right? That means that the quality of work is going to drop big time.
Oh, fool, they're going to send you a guitar with missing a string, huh? The guitar tech?
An experienced fool is not coming in.
That fool's going to fall on stage.
Hey, somebody's going to show up with not enough drumsticks.
Something, dog. Like, dude, like, you know what I mean? Like, it'll happen like that accident with a guy from Metallica. Someone's going to get lit on fire.
But how many roadies you think quit the biz?
I would say, dude, at least 40%, dude.
That's a lot of percent. A lot of good ones, too, probably, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because I know those guys, if you get to the level where you're, like, working with Britney Spears and everything, there's, like, a union and all that stuff. Because even for, like, this stuff, there's extra work where you can go, like, you know, and, you know, like, just for a day, fill in and, you know, you're moving guitar amps from the stage to another stage, dude, on a festival, per se.
My son's cousin, that fool's job was setting up sound and speakers for major, major concerts.
Big old festivals. Really? It probably worked all year long, huh?
Yeah, like he'll go over there. And he was the fool that'll draw up the plan, like how he wants the speakers to be done, where he wants what, you know, where do the artists want everything. And then everybody would just go up there, like monkeys, bro, set it all up. And then he's there, like, checking sound before the band to make sure everything is perfect.
Connected.
Then the band comes in, but that fool's there 12 hours, bro. Like from the from setup to the end to make sure the sound is coming out good.
I would have doubted
it. Damn, dude. That's money right there. Flacco used to do that in San Francisco. Flacco used to live in San Francisco for a bit.
What Flacco are we talking about here? Flacco
Jimenez? Martinez. Yeah. And, like, he did that like, in the early 2000s.
Bro? Oh, let me tell you, bro.
You bring up Flacco's in his 40s, man. He lived a life, man.
I thought he was 30 last week.
I don't think that foot could even pick up pliers, bro. I'm sorry, man. I see those dudes that do those jobs and they do that big, fat ass Popeye arms, bro.
Oh, dude. If you look at it, remember that one day that I was telling you that we did that show at Irvine? I'm like, look, even the roadie had a roadie car. It was all black and little and dusty. They all look kind of like a step above being a carny. You know what I mean? And if you make a little dough, you have all – they're always dressed in black too, dog. It's hilarious. You got two types of roadies, dog. You got some guy that's a professional guitar tech, a professional drum tech, and then you got like, those two fools that look like Beavis and Butthead's dad when they come out in the movie.
The fools in the desert?
Those nasty fools, dog. That all they do is just push speaker boxes.
And then there's that roadie, bro. He gets hired, like he just came back. But all he does, bro, is fucking open suitcases, bro. Like, and then he's in charge of making sure nobody steals them.
Yeah, that was Flacco right there, probably.
He was in charge of the mic stands, dog. I can imagine Flacco selling popcorn or something or funnel cakes, but not being a roadie, bro. He weighs like 70 pounds.
It wasn't a roadie. He was the guy that helped set up the stage. He worked at the concerts and.
Nah, man. I can see that fool like standing by the stage, bro, with a yellow Staffy Band shirt.
I was gonna tell you that one time he took off his shirt in front of me at the hotel, and I could see
Diaz, huh?
I seen his heartbeat, dude. That's how skinny this fool is. In preemie style
ribs,
bro. With me too, bro. Like when I took him to the hospital, they took his shirt off. And he looked like fucking like that skinny ass fool in that movie, The Machine.
Oh, dude, that was the American Psycho, dog. Christian Bale, dog.
Christian Bale.
The Mechanic.
The Mechanic, bro. He looked like he just came from Auschwitz, bro.
That's funny. Hey, do you remember that?
Don't be bored.
Do you remember that movie where Christian Bale plays a cholo?
Yeah, Hard Times.
Yeah, but it's funny because he's not the crazy part. He's Emilio's British,
in
right?
It. Emilio's in it, and so is Citric and that other fool.
Yeah,
I think Citric gets killed in the beginning, dude.
And Emilio gets killed in a bar by a paisa.
Yeah, in the beginning, yeah, like a hardcore hit, dude. Hey, wasn't dude? That was that little bar right there in over there in
Lincoln Heights.
Yeah,
Frogtown.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's like kind of like hipstered out now, but rest in peace, homes.
That whole rest area, peace, man.
Oh, bro.
What's up, fool?
You know how everybody moved out of LA, right?
We're out of here.
The people who put in 20 years in a business.
I was never from here, cocksucker.
But this fool said he heard that his buddy George was listening to the podcast, and he said Joe Diaz was having a barbecue, and he said that he never could do a barbecue in LA, right?
Fool, I had barbecue hot dogs with that fool in the back right there in the little Schrader pot.
Ralphie May's house.
Well, oh, yeah, you know, every year. Yeah,
that fool was saying that George was saying that he was listening to it, and he was just saying how like he was hanging out with, like regular folk, having a barbecue, and like he felt like a regular guy, and he felt like he could never do that in L.A. I'm like, where are you, man?
You can't go over there with those savages in the park and start grilling. They'll grab a gun and they'll take it from you. What am I gonna tell my daughter?
Like, there's barbecues everywhere, you know. There's regular people,
Only place you go to barbecue is El Cochinito, cocksucker. Sunset, they got the roach. You know what I'm saying? The roach with three legs, the Cuban roach. What's up, bro?
Robert De Niro's getting a divorce. It's fucking expensive, bro.
It's a lot of wrecks.
Hey, how much does the wife want, Rodrigo?
She wants $1.67 million.
That's a year.
Big ones. And she spent $1.2 million on a diamond. High society lady. What are you laughing at? The face or the voice?
Both.
The face. The face. The hoof. The divorcee. Hoof. The divorcee. The alimony. The De Niro impression works if you want to look skinny.
Hey, she wants like $125,000 a month, right?
She, because he's trying to more. He wants to take it down to $125,000 because it was at $375,000.
What do you buy with that?
Dude, everything, dude. Like in 2019, that was the whole like riff was about. She got $1.67 million, and she spent $1.2 million just on a diamond. So you know, like, you know what I mean? Come on, bro. And she was talking crap, saying that he doesn't have that much money because supposedly he's in debt to the IRS.
What about like the Irishman? That was a good movie.
But he's still in debt. He's paying. He's paying. He's paying.
Colton's here.
All right. What up, Colton?
He needs to do another fucking Meet the Parents movie.
He couldn't find her brother in a wheelchair.
Oh.
What up?
What's up, everybody? We got Colton Dunn here.
Hey, y'all. You know I had to show up a little late.
Hello.
It's all good, finance. Man. You're here, man.
What up?
All the way from Normal, Illinois.
Yeah.
Got those wiki facts.
Oh, yeah, man. You know how we do it.
Keep I didn't know you were upsized. You were in a sketch group.
Oh, for real? You didn't know?
Yeah, no, man. I thought you were a comedic actor who got the part. A good dude.
Oh, well, both those things are true.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, dude, I did a lot of sketch.
I know on Keenan and Peele and Matt TV.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Pretend Time. Yeah, Eric Andre.
I was on Eric Andre too.
Oh, yeah?
I was like all of season 5 and season 4 and part of season 3. I was on the Ryan Felipe episode.
Dude, hey, I love Eric, man. He's so funny.
And I've been to like, I don't know, how many birthdays we've been to? Did we go 3 together?
3 right here in L.A.
I went to
Eric's
1.
Birthdays?
Yeah, those big old bashes.
No,
it's insane. Naked people walking around.
Yeah, we went to one in downtown L.A.
It was like an elephant.
Oh, that was in the backyard. Right.
Yeah, the elephant in the fucking backyard. In the
backyard.
Hollywood,
yeah, backyard. That was the apartments. He had a fucking emo.
And a camel.
A baby elephant or full-size elephant, dude?
At that one, he had like a BBW lady stripping.
Nice.
You got it like that.
Man, we went to one where there was a fat lady and a fat man walking around naked, and you can see that fat ass dude's like fat penis, and then there was a brother with a long ass penis.
Yeah, he had a big old dick, dude,
with a rope, and
stepping on it, dude.
Yeah, and then Marcela Arguello was dancing like she was pulling a rope like it was jump rope, man. It was funny.
This he was letting people to grab his penis.
No, it was connected to a rope.
Yeah.
Oh, his penis was connected to a rope.
Like you can dog walk it.
Yeah.
I guess he'll never lose it then.
Put that thing on a keychain, dog.
Yeah.
Get that fob going.
His dick was his plus one guest up to the party, I remember.
It was crazy. Eric had like a quinceañera, and he showed up on a horse. And carriage, like a Cinderella, and a dress.
That's downtown. I was at that one.
Yeah, we were there too. We were in a tux. I was like his godfather. It was fun, man. We had Chinese food afterwards.
Hell yeah.
So, man, Well, they're like working on Superstore. You know, I auditioned 3 times before I got Cody.
Really?
Yeah, I auditioned for. Oh, I auditioned for your part too.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, and then I auditioned for the Shoplifter. I think Natasha Leggero got it.
Okay, that's right. Then, that's right.
And then I auditioned for another part, which I forgot. And then me and Rodrigo, right here, we fucking self-taped that shit in Florida, and we nailed that shit.
Nice. Tight, dude. Yeah, dude. I know that they were, they were trying to get you on the show.
Yeah, man.
So, man, that was the best, dude, because it was always good on that show. You knew somebody did good if their character showed up real quick after we met him the first time. I remember we saw Cody, like, immediately after we saw him. Cody's great.
What was that like, man, working every day?
Well, what was great about it is I didn't work every day.
Oh, no. Did you have to show up?
Nah, I mean, this last season, we would have to go in to get tested every day.
That was crazy.
I would have to go in, but normally, no, I usually work 2 or 3 days a week, you know, and with, you know, and this is an old school, you know, network show. So we were working where we would shoot, we'd do like, you know, basically like 3 or 4 weeks on and then a week off. So, you know, I'm working like 3 weeks on, 1 week off, maybe 2-3 days a week. Holidays are like, you know, Thanksgiving we get 2.5 weeks. Christmas we get like 4 weeks.
Damn, that's a cush-ass schedule right there.
It was a great job. I complained.
You know, like they say that the last season everything changes on a network show. And like you could talk about the less money, and sometimes, or you start noticing right away, like they don't show that much love like they used to. Like, did you notice those things?
Not so much on our show, only because we didn't know it was the last season.
Oh shit!
Up until halfway through.
Oh.
It wasn't supposed to be the last season, right? It just happened, or?
It just happened, you know. I think, yeah, you know, there's a lot of reasons, you know, that they just kind of, you know, but, yeah, we didn't know. So that's why the season starts out, you know, if you, you know, I don't, this might be some spoilers for people out there, but, you know, America Ferreira was on the show, but at the end of last season, she was going to leave.
Yeah.
But then the pandemic happened, so we couldn't shoot the episode where she left. So we had to do that when we came back for the next season. And so it was kind of awkward because she was like, I'm out of here. And then she had to come back. And so we shoot 2 more episodes with her. And she's like, okay, now I'm leaving. I'll see you guys later. I have a big dinner and everything. See her off. It's all great. Well, then they're like, okay, so we're not doing any more Superstore. The show's going to end. Well, the main story in the show is, you know, Jonah and Amy. So basically, so she has to come back for the end of the show. Like, we can't leave that open. And so basically, this last season, you see her at the first 2 episodes leaving. And then she shows up in the last 2 episodes coming back. But as far as, like, you know, the quality of stuff, we didn't really, you know, luckily our show isn't like a big, like, high, it's not like Knight Rider or some shit where, like, in the last season he's driving around in a fucking Toyota, you know, like, it's, we're just in a store, so, you know, but I will say that food, that all that food got pretty stale that you see in the store.
That's crazy.
And they actually built a whole store.
I mean, pretty much, you know, we had 2 stages that they linked together to make the main store, the main set. And then we had another stage where we had a bunch of other little sets and then like the back room and the warehouse and just any other sets that we'd need.
Hell yeah.
I should have worn my Cloud 9 hoodie.
Still not too late.
Yeah, dude, what's up, man? Yeah, rap, bro. Yeah, man. At the end of the season, they asked me if I wanted to buy the stuff. So I bought the hoodie and a little Cody name tag.
Just to keep one. That's tight, dude. I tried to get one of those hoodies. They wouldn't give me one.
Shit, they gave me one. Oh. And then, because the show's hot right now in Canada and like all over the world. So, man, I'm ready for my future Comic Con, homie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right. Rizzo, we went to a Comic Con and there was fools that were like on a movie for 3 seconds.
Dude, there's fools. There's cholos that were just in like cholo movies for like a couple seconds, and they made a whole career at Comic Con just like with the banners. I'm like, oh, I guess I've seen
for it. I'll get an autograph. These fools, like, I was a guy that got kicked by Steven Seagal in the seventh scene.
Like, you want to come to my question and answer session?
Like that, yeah.
Doesn't Fred Stoller go to Comic Con?
Yeah.
He does. He stands inside of a phone booth. Get off the phone.
Remember that? Remember me?
I remember.
I love Comic Con, man.
We have Fred Stoller open up for us in Florida and Phoenix. And another couple of, we're doing a little meet and greet. There's a couple of cholos, you know, Mexican gangsters. They wanted to fucking talk to Fred Stoller. They want to take a photo. And they're banging a green room door. Hey, Seinfeld, get out of here. They didn't even know his name. Hey, Seinfeld. They're the same kind of people, man, that when I want to tell them about Schitt's Creek, they don't know names, so I got to say, bro, you know who's in it, bro. Home Alone's mom.
Home Alone?
Yeah. Home Alone's mom and American Pie's dad. And they go, oh, shit. I know them. I love them.
Pretty good word. That's how cholos are, man.
Well, like when we see you like in the DC movie, Colton, or Marvel movie, I'm gonna be there telling you, bro, you know who's in it, bro? Wheelchair guy from Superstore.
Wheelchair guy.
Oh, that's how cholos are, man.
My niece loves you, man. She loves you because she's a fucking fucking shoe nerd.
Oh, okay.
So every time you bust those, yeah, okay, man. So when you bust those Jordans, she got those Jordans, man. You're like her favorite character. Her and her daughters. So you give Michelle Lucero a shout out.
Yeah, what's up, Michelle? You know, shout out. You know, you want any? Come by my house. I'll lace you up with some Jordans if you come through. I could hook you up with some. Some dope Garrett J's.
Oh my god, man. My son, he got ripped off. He bought some fake ass Jordans, bro.
How?
Let me go get them.
I got fake Jordans.
Oh, no, I gotta see these.
I got fake Jordans in middle school, dude. Only the sneakerheads could tell they were fake, dude.
How would you not know? Unless you never had Jordans before.
I never had Jordans when I was a kid, dude. They were like $20. I knew, like, even for the 90s, that was so cheap, you know.
Motherfucker got shacks.
Oh no!
All right, Coach, you're an expert, right?
Okay, let's take a look at these. Oh no! Okay. Oh boy! Okay, so these are some bootleg Air Force Ones. Uh oh. Yeah, we've seen some issues here.
Zeros.
This ain't Nike. Not get no air. So all they did was put this part right here.
I couldn't tell, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about the tongue on the inside?
No. This stitch, it should be black, not white.
Mm-hmm.
That's the giveaway right there, too. And the tongue, look, there's no Jordan tongue. There's no Jordan tongue.
Yeah, there's no Jumpman.
It's a Nike Air.
Yeah.
Whoa.
$100.
How much did he pay?
$100.
Okay, well. I mean, at least they're cheap ripoffs, you know?
They're passable, though. For somebody that never had Jordans, they'll probably just get tricked.
Your cousin in Tijuana.
Because there was, like, these bootleg Mexican ones that were going around, and they had, like, the swoosh was kind of like a dick.
What?
I'll show you the tweet. I posted it up on my story, dude.
Hilarious.
Because it was rounded out. It didn't have a tip at the end.
There was a comedian from San Jose who went to Thailand, and he came back with 5 pairs of fake Jordans. It had everything, but the arrow right here was like a fucking arrow. It was like an arrow. It was like a triangle right here.
Is that the same one that brought back those jerseys?
Yes.
Oh my god!
And then that fool had he said that people out there sell like Apple TVs, you know, like Apple, but they put the Apple thing in the oven or a microwave. Microwave.
No. That's so funny.
They probably get that sticker that you get with your AirPods or something or your laptop and take it over there and put it on.
Mm-hmm. Just put Apple, it on all other shit.
Horrible.
Apple microwaves. That's hilarious, dude.
Think different, bro.
A fake Jordan scandal, bro. Look at this shit. They're Nike Airs.
You gotta go. Where did he get those?
Amazon somewhere.
Oh, he ordered them. Oh, okay. So I thought maybe you'd have to go somewhere. You used to be able to go like downtown. You could find some nice bootlegs.
And these were too small.
Oh, <dude. laughs> baby foot's gonna grow all quick.
It's a little shark. Yeah, a little shark.
Hell yeah.
Those look cool.
And the nice bootlegs will be up at swap meet.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Mm-hmm. Where they're just like those ones, a little bit even more passable, but like, you know, they're just missing something, dog.
Yeah, the realness. So what's up, Coach? Man, you stoned or what?
I wish, man. No, I was.
I wish
my son a bath. So
about that.
Not yet.
Oh, you got kids.
Mm-hmm.
Me too, man. I just got my fucking pit bull out of the hospital, man. I put that fool in on Thursday, and he just got out yesterday. Man,
oh, yeah. Tight, dude.
He had like an ear infection that was fucking up his head, and then he had one eye that was messing up, and he had like a leaky breast, and I thought she was gonna be gone, dude. This is the part that scared the shit out of me, right? Because I took her to a vet, and then she told me, "Oh, you gotta take your dog to an emergency over here on Winnetka and some bullshit, right?" So fucking up. I went over there, and like, it's totally like pandemic, you know, like you gotta stand in line and talk to somebody somewhere in a tent, and then you gotta, all the parking lots are parked. So where you parked at 39. So they came and get my dog. I was waiting for 30 minutes, bro. They never done it before, right? They brought back the collar and the harness only. Only.
Oh, no.
So what the
bad news presentation right there.
Bro, I was like Charlie Brown's face. I was like, what happened? And I like, oh, here, take this. And I said, what do you mean take this? What happened? And they were telling me all kinds of stuff about choices. You may want to take this. Put this dog down and shit. And I said, oh, hell no. My dog was peeing on the way in and smelling shit. There's still life in this motherfucker, right? If he was shitting on the way in and like not giving a fuck, but my dog was fighting his way in, like he smelled death in there. He didn't want to go in there. So, dude, I got the harness and the leash. And I'm like, fuck, I'm sitting there like fucking, like that dude in the Green Mile, bro.
Throwing a little bit of sand right there, off.
Bro, I was like this, bro. Shit. Like, So I go in my truck and like I look around, and there's like another guy over there in another truck, and he's like bawling his ass off.
Oh my god!
And I said, "Fuck this depression." I fucking got out of my car, and then just fucking drove my car all the way home. Like fucking Ben Stiller and There's Something About Mary, you know, when he's crying and walking away.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Bro,
if the police would have pulled me over, dude, that was wrong with you. So you thought hysterical. I look like a Karen, bro, after she lost an argument, bro.
Where's my phone?
Damn, bro. And
they got you, huh?
So I go home, bro, and that was that, bro. Bro, when I was on a plane, I had to go to a bathroom just to cry, bro.
So, happened? You found another vet?
That was probably like, I don't know what's going to happen, cry, though, right?
Yeah, and then that doctor was cool, bro. Like every hour or every 3 hours, she'll tell me what's going on with the dog. She's okay now. She had one of those big-ass cones, bro. She has a tube inside her ear because her head is swollen. Oh, so she's leaking all that bullshit that they put inside of her. The pus, dog. And she has a fucking Band-Aid that says that in order for me to touch it, I got to wear gloves. But it's full of fentanyl.
Oh, let me take my glove off.
I know, bro. Because I was like... He goes, she said, you might die. She said, I might die, bro. I was about to get a little cotton ball, bro. Hello, bow.
Unless this is from the cartel.
Bro, for real. She made it sound like you got to wear gloves. You got to bury the ground. You got to burn it. You got to call a person with a hazmat license.
Are you spraying Roundup or what? This is fentanyl. I don't need no gloves. Oh my God, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Dude, now I know how to, it, though. Hey, in a Toby Hicks voice, now I know how to get fentanyl.
So, you need to find a sick dog.
The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time the whole time at home, the other dog, he doesn't know where the other dog is. So every time the door is open, he looks to see if the dog's coming in. Or every time a new person comes in, he tries to talk to them like, hey, man, I don't know, man, but we're missing Squishy. She ain't here. And then like,
my buddy's bro. Squishy not around.
So before we brought the dog in, I had the Squishy lick my hand, and I went inside the house, and I let the other dog lick it. Man, this motherfucker was bawling, but like, rrr, 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 rrr. And then she came in. They were like wagging tails, bro, happy.
Man. That's cute, man.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know what made me feel bad, though, was that I wrote it into my bit. I didn't cry like this for no family members ever.
Yeah.
I hope they ain't listening, man. When I was a little kid, though, one of my friends was brutally stabbed to death, and I remember crying for him. He was like 14 years old or 13 years old. He was killed by, a jealous lover, like a woman or somebody.
Damn.
At 14?
Yeah, man. It was tough, man. Like, but it was one of those 14-year-olds that I thought he could pass that 17.
He already had a mustache, okay. Huh?
Hell yeah, bro. He was shaving and shit, playing Pop Warner.
I used to trip out when I would see a fool in the sixth grade, and he already had hair, dog. I was like, damn, he's a man.
In ninth grade, every morning before I'm homeroom, 7:45, they would play taps for the whole school. And play the national anthem and the trumpet player. That fool had a full beard, bro, like me right now. And he was not even 18. He was not even 17. He was probably going to be 16. He had a big ass beard and shit.
Yeah, well, you know, like Mark said, he was undercover, man. He was trying to bust him.
21 Jump Street, dude.
Oh, man, he had also that the band trying to bust the band drug ring.
And then when Teen Wolf came out, it was over for him, bro. He just got into drugs.
Hang out with a guy named Styles.
Yeah, surf on top of the van.
You know, when I look at old yearbooks, people look older back then, dude.
I know, like class of 1950.
Yeah, because they got married after high school, you know, back then, you know.
Class of 1950, they just got back from the war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think life was harder, dude. You know what I mean? No sunblock.
I know, bro. I did a show at the Comedy Magic Club, and I got an old white couple came up to me, goes, "What high school do you go to?" I said, "In Boyle Heights." I said, "Roosevelt High School." And she goes, "What year?" And I told her the year, and she goes, "Roosevelt High School, 1945.
Shut the fuck
and,
up.
Yeah. And then some lady said, some guy in the back goes, "Garfield." And then the ladies looked at him and said, "My condolences." The rival continues, bro.
Let's see the classic.
Because Roosevelt and Garfield are rivals. And when I guess in 1930, 1940, Roosevelt was predominantly Jewish and Garfield was all Germans.
Oh, well, yeah, they got them. They definitely had a bone to pick.
Oh, for sure, dude. And every year since then, they've always had like the East LA Classic where they play a game of football, right? Every year?
Yeah, it's huge, bro. It started off at East LA College, and then now they moved it to the Coliseum sometime. Like, so many people show up. That rivalry is big, just like Banning High School and Carson.
Damn.
Yeah, I was never in a high school rivalry.
Just a gang rivalry, huh?
Yeah, man, just that gang shit, you know.
when we were on the show, you showed me a photo of you dressed like a cowboy. And you said you couldn't show it because they were showing a lot of kids' photos for the program.
Wait, what?
You were dressed like a Native American, not a cowboy.
I was?
Yeah, you showed me a photo of you when you were little.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Was it when I was a little kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, like back in the 80s or something. It was a picture of me, you know, and, you know, back then, you know, I was broke, you know. We grew up poor, so our Halloween costumes were just shit that was easy to do. And back then, you just had to put a bandana on and have your mom draw some lines on your face, and then you were an Indian. So that's what I did. I was like, okay, fuck it, man. I'll just be an Indian, a Native American. I won't call them now, but back then we was just Indians. But yeah, they don't let you do that now.
Yeah, my mom would put a fucking a hefty bag over my little brother, a black one. And make a fucking light and make a like a lightning bolt and put out of aluminum foil and tell him, "You're a dark cloud, mijo. You're a Hurricane El Nino."
Hurricane El Nino.
What is like the worst costume, Halloween costume you ever had to wear? When you said, "Damn, oh, man."
I had a costume that I made, that my mom made, and it was I could either be Peter Pan or Robin Hood, man. It was one or the other, dude.
Dude, my mom got my little brother, and he put a hoodie over him and fucking tied it real tight, and then got her lipstick and made like a mask over his face, dog. Like drew a like a Lone Ranger mask with red lipstick, bro.
There he goes.
What the fuck was he supposed to be?
I don't know. The hoodie guy with lipstick face.
Like a ghost or something?
A ghost with a red mask?
Yeah.
You know, only Halloween costume I really remember using was one year I went as Fat Albert Einstein. I had a big red sweater and put a bunch of pillows underneath. And then I got an Afro wig, but I cut it to look all crazy like Albert Einstein's hair. That was it.
That's hilarious, dude.
E equals MC squared.
I think I wrote E equals hey to the third power. Hey, hey, hey.
A brainiac.
Funny, dude. That's like a sketch right there.
That night ended up with me, I think, drunk, like pissing on somebody's lawn, getting thrown out of a party. So,
Halloween was the only time that I could come home like 11:30 p.m. and nobody said shit.
Yeah, you get always home late on Halloween. That's a rule.
Hell yeah, man. Like, I will go trick-or-treating far, man. I'll try to walk as far as far away from the house as possible.
Would you walk towards downtown LA?
About kids who grew up in like LA and stuff. Cause you know, I grew up in Minnesota. I grew up in a smaller city. So I would go to other neighborhoods, but I look at something like LA, I'd be like, geez, man, you fucking go all over the place to go trick or treating, man.
Dude, some people with cars, they will pack up their kids and take them trick or treating in the rich neighborhoods.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Beverly Hills, Hollywood. Beverly Hills.
People always lie too, like, I never knew a kid, nah, bro, you gotta go with it. They give you money. I never got money.
The best Halloween is when they give you a whole Snickers bar or something.
Yeah, fuck, yeah. The king size.
Dude, my mom will make popcorn, bro, and put it in bags and give it to kids. Oh, I'd be embarrassed. Man. I'd be embarrassed giving that shit to my friends, bro.
About those old people that would like tape together 5 pennies. Like, what the fuck?
I know, man.
I don't know, bro. I wasn't around back then.
Five pennies.
Yeah. I was like, dude, just give us a nickel, bitch.
hilarious. I didn't
get it, bro. Right there with a little caramel candy, a little Werther's.
Do you remember like trick or treating by your friend, like at your friend's house? And you're like, man, this is how you live. Some will be rich, and some will be like living worse than you. I'd be like, oh fuck, I don't feel bad.
Oh, God damn, your neighborhood went up and down like the stock market, huh?
It did, because there's some houses that were nice and there's some that were like, oh, man, crazy.
It depends what neighborhood you live, man, because if you're like in Glendale, there's a lot of old Armenians, bro. They don't pass out shit over there, bro.
I know.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, man. I just moved to Glendale, and, but just it's weird, too, because some people really get into it. Halloween and Christmas, like, they have some people, like, got their whole house all done up. And then other places act like they don't even know what the fuck's going on. Huh. They just got like 3 white Range Rovers in the driveway.
What is Halloween?
I'm from Russia.
Russia.
Who knows? check is in the mailbox.
Glendale, man.
Yeah, that was like my landlord, dude.
Glendale, they used to have sundown laws in that fucking city. Back in the days.
Oh, yeah, if you're out at night, though, the cops will beat your ass and throw you in the hills, bro. There was no protest back then.
Yeah, man. They had sundown laws before where you couldn't, if you were like a person of color or Chicano, you couldn't be out after 10 or you get pulled over.
Damn.
Oh, hell no. You know, like, crazy.
Like the guy like in the Green Book. Remember when they were driving and they got pulled over? Exactly like that.
Those are like LA Confidential days, dog.
So yeah, bro.
Fuck you up, dude.
Or like Zoot Zoot?
Before the Armenians showed up.
The Armenians were still in Armenia.
The Armenians were like, we ain't playing that shit.
I know. That they were still in Fresno.
We were still in Beirut.
So who was in Glendale back then? Like a lot of Mexicans?
They're just studios, right? And then like a couple just like on the – it was – dude, Glendale, it wasn't really part of – it was part of the county, not like the city, right? It was the outskirts. A lot of studios Glendale, by the train track, right?
Glendale was another city. Like if you go to the fucking post office, it has a different name.
Different set of rules and laws, everything.
Like a Spanish name. Plaza de or something, man. I forgot the name of it.
Probably the Explorer or the Spanish mission that was by there or something.
Yeah. Spanish name in Glendale.
We're learning something new.
Something new every day, man. Homie. I forgot anyway. So,
because I know Southgate was pretty crazy back in the day, like racist, dude.
Bro, we went to that Southgate Southgate Christmas parade. Uh-huh. I didn't know there were that many white people until they showed up to that parade trying to get in the front.
We like them cars.
I trip out. Dude, there's still white people that live on the hood. Like you're like. I'm like, what? Like these guys never left, dude. You know,
they're just holding it down, man. They're waiting for it to come around.
Yeah, the white flag. They're like, we're waiting for that to happen. They're like, yeah, we're staying.
That
man.
Gentrification to hit.
Yeah, man. They're like Bitcoin. They're just holding it.
It's gonna blow up soon.
They're holding it down like they're holding like Dogecoin.
Yeah.
What happened? I thought we was gonna triple up on 420.
I thought we were gonna go to $1.50, bro. We're gonna retire.
He's gonna cash out and move to Hilo, dog.
That's right. But that's true. Those fools, yeah, they during the white flight, they probably never left, and they're like, yeah, they're probably sitting like they're waiting for the house to go up like a crazy like amount of money, you know?
Well, that goes to show that like everybody doesn't move like the media says they do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Motherfuckers still gonna stay there, dog. They ain't afraid.
What's up, fool? Today's show is sponsored by HelloFresh. Do you know why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit? Let me tell you.
Why?
You can get fresh pre-measured ingredients and recipes delivered right to your door. Takes the guesswork.
Wait, hold up. Delivered to the door?
Right to your door, bro. A whole pre-packaged meal. Me and Lisa, we use the vegetarian meal. And we just put it in the oven and boom. No questions asked. And they just keep bringing them to you. Say, stop bringing them. You can skip trip to the grocery store and cut out stressful meal planning. Go to HelloFresh.com/food12 and use code food12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/food12 and use code food12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Go to HelloFresh.com. And it's flexible. You can easily change your delivery days or food preferences whenever you want to.
Yeah. It's easy, man. I used to use that. No doubt. That stuff is great. Love HelloFresh.
So are you married?
I am married, man. Yeah.
I thought you were going out with that girl from the show.
What? Oh, you mean the character? The one. Yeah, no, I'm married, man. I've been married for a few years. My wife is also from Minnesota, where I'm from, but we met out here, oddly enough. So that's kind of nice because it makes going home for holidays easy. We just gotta go home.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, man, I'm married. You know, living. You know, I'm Glendale. You gotta know, I'm married. I'm in Glendale. I'm married. I got kids. Otherwise, yeah. I'd be like living somewhere cool.
Remember, bro. There's no when you take your kid trick or treating. Don't take them to Glendale because nobody trick or treats. Take them to Atwater.
Apparently, I gotta take my kid out late at night.
take them to sundown,
my boy.
Yeah, take them to Atwater neighborhood on Brunswick and Glendale. These hipsters over there turn it up on Halloween, man. They set up their own haunted house and shit.
Yo, you know that I lived on Brunswick and Los Feliz.
Dude, I used to live on Los Brunswick
for like,
and Glendale.
For like 5 years, man. And so I used to, in Glendale's right on the other side. Yeah, but I wear a big Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Fucking walk up and down Brunswick. Handing out candy, man. Yeah, it's popping up. Those hipsters love Halloween.
They love Halloween, man. It's funny, man, before you got on, Rodrigo mentioned that 40% of roadies that go on the road got regular jobs now. So there's like there's going to be a big need for roadies now. A big shortage.
Because of the pandemic?
Do you want to get into the game with me, man? Is that what you're saying?
Let's do it.
We'll just be roadies?
You know what that means, bro? It's going to be easier to sneak into concerts.
Oh, yeah. People that don't know the ropes.
Yeah. Give me a yellow vest and a ladder. I'm in.
You know the best way to sneak into a concert is just to, dude, if you just get a cheap-ass guitar case and just walk in with it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, why are you walking in the main entrance with a guitar?
We're playing right now, dog. They're waiting on me.
Oh, man, you know I'm always late.
I'm in the band, man.
I don't fuck with the band no more. I try my lift.
Yeah, man, I get on stage in the front right there where the audience is. Right there, I jump on the barricade and I'm on stage. This fool said, why are you going to the main entrance with a guitar?
Because yeah, you want the chicks to know who you are, dude.
He got caught already, eh?
He thought he was doing a bar show, huh? That's a smart security man.
It's like those guys in that one YouTube video.
where they sneak into everything just wearing a construction vest and a hard hat, and they walk into Disneyland, Universal Studios,
the movie theaters. That's a good one, dude. That's a good one, bro.
And they just have a clipboard, bro. That. Yeah,
that's
dude.
That's a good one. Because you can't get busted.
You know what? The clipboard is key, man. Clipboard will get you into a lot of places.
You can't get busted for impersonating a construction worker, bro.
That's true. Nah.
Maybe a cop or a priest, but not a construction worker.
A priest?
Or a supervisor. Yeah, I don't think you can like be a priest, right? Unless you're like in a sketch or something.
I don't know.
You mean like, can you just put on a priest like outfit and walk around?
Yeah, and like solicit cash. I think, I don't know, that's like probably the no-no.
I mean, I'll be honest. I think you could do that, man. If that's something you want to do. You can throw on, you can throw on your priest outfit and just walk around asking for money.
Because won't the Vatican get mad because they're not getting kicked up?
You can start your own church.
They're losing money on that.
Oh man,
what up, who?
My phone went dead, bro. Almost went dead in an airplane, bro. With all these Amber Alerts from Texas,
dude. That one was crazy. Dude, that shit woke me up in the morning. I was
scared, bro.
What was that?
Like at 4 in the morning.
In Texas, all the Amber Alerts hit your phone, right? And we were flying out the next morning, and our phone goes off at 4:30 in the morning, loud, like brr, brr, brr.
Dude, I thought the hotel was on fire, dude.
And I saw Amber Alert. Then I said, another one. Okay, man. I better put on my fucking cape and fly over there, bro.
Yeah, it's like they want you to get out of the fucking bed. Like, oh, where the fuck?
I remember one time, bro, I got an Amber Alert and I was driving and I was fucking high as fuck, bro. And they were reading the car and I was like, fuck, what am I driving? Toyota too? What the fuck?
Oh shit, this Amber Alert is about me.
There's a baby seat in the back.
Hey, do they have Amber Alerts in Mexico when a kid's missing?
Hell like, no.
Amber Alert.
No, Amber, bro. I don't see it unless it's on a WhatsApp.
That's one of the things that I noticed, like in Mexico, like I guess there's a lot of police brutality over there, right, against Mexicans. But you don't see too many protests. I like.
Well, I was gonna say that's called law and order, Felipe. in Mexico,
they'll kick your ass for anything in Mexico, dude.
In Mexico,
they don't play, bro.
As long as you bust out a 20, they'll start beating you, eh?
Yeah, well, that's how you learn how to talk to the cops in Mexico with a couple 20s, though. A couple Jacksons.
A little Benito Juarez.
I saw a video, bro, scary as fuck. It was a fat fool who looked like me, but with shorter hair. He had a shirt like this, and he was handcuffed, and he was all fucked up on meth, right? And he's chubby. And then that guy goes, the cop tells him, you think you're all bad and shit? He goes, fuck you, motherfucker. I don't give a fuck. They go, muy chingón, cabrón. They go, sí, güey, muy chingón. Vas a comer verga, cabrón. And they go, you're going to eat dick tonight. And the guy goes, all right. Eh.
I'm hungry, dog.
Yeah. He was like, in all the comments, he's dead. It's funny, man. Like, in America, they're going to, like, they say, like, oh, they probably beat him up in jail, or they're gonna beat him up. But then, like the comment from Mexicans are, he's dead.
Yeah,
he's dead. They're gonna bury him somewhere.
Dude, I was in Mexico in 2006, and I was at a fair, like their state fair, and this guy was getting a Mexican dude was getting crazy with the cops, and spitting on him and everything, and they just grabbed that dude and beat the fuck out of him, and just threw him on the side where the dumpster was. That was it.
Damn.
And like limp, like left them limp, dog.
They didn't charge him for anything?
Nah, just fucked them up and left them there.
And they went back to the party.
And they just went over there and just did what they had to do, bro.
The guy went back to making funnel cakes, all beat up.
Real, man, when I'm in Mexico.
Beat up, bro, like a mop.
When I'm in Mexico and I see the police show up in an escort, I get scared.
I was going to say, I got another Mexico story. But this one happened to me in TJ. I was like probably about 3 minutes away from the border, right? And I get pulled over, and the guy tells me in Spanish, and he was on a bike. He taps on my window, and he tells me they're too dark. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
In Mexico?
Yeah, in TJ.
It's because you had the American license plate, dude.
No, but they were dark, but they weren't super dark. Because y'all, Well, I'll follow you to the police headquarters. He's all, how much money you got? And I always kept $7, dog. A 5 and 2 1s. All I got is $7. He's all right, that'll do. So this was all, follow me, I'll take you to the border. He escorted me to the border for $7. Like, I was like, I felt stupid at the same time, but I was like, dude, he got me up to the front of the line, bro. I was like, fuck. But it's a, whatever, bro. You know, you have to learn how to work them, though. Yeah.
That's how I would never drive my car to TJ, bro. Like,
yeah, I don't do it anymore, dude.
They see that license plate, they're like, oh, this fool has money, man. He's from fucking United States, you know?
Dude. And they're only going to fuck with your ass if you're brown, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're cool, Coach.
And the thing that, struck me about your story, Felipe, was that you said it was a meth head and he was fat. That's just pitiful.
Yeah, he was fat, bro.
He just started on his journey.
Yeah, you got a pick.
He's real fast.
Yeah, he's on the prelims right now.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
The time he doesn't sleep, he's eating. That's what happens.
Hey, but you know what's crazy? Like, a lot of people think that there's not fat tweakers out there. I used to know a lot of fat-ass tweakers, dog.
They ain't doing no missions, though.
By, like, summertime, they're all sweaty with zits and shit. Like,
I know.
And the days they're not doing it, they're just eating probably like a lot, you know?
I used to know this dude.
Just hammering down, like, McDonald's value meals and shit.
Not even, dude. A.M.P.M., like, hey, cheeseburgers and hot dogs.
They used to be like this chubby dude.
Fried chicken that they'll have at, like, a gas station. Like,
yeah.
That fried chicken always has hard-ass corners on.
Feathers. And, like, little burnt feathers on it.
Huh. Like, you can see the pores from the chicken.
You got to peel it before you eat it, eh?
It's that, you bite into the corner and it just shoots out a piece of grease on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a beak in there. What?
They used to be a real chubby dude. They used to buy crack in the neighborhood. And he'd always have food with him, bro, like either a burger or something. And one day he had like a dozen donuts and he was eating them and he was buying crack. And I remember looking at him and I'm like, I don't know why, but I felt like telling him, bro, you shouldn't eat so many donuts. That's bad for you. But instead of thinking, you shouldn't be buying so much crack. It's bad for you.
That's really bad for you.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he was at the point.
Wait, come see me in an hour.
He was at the point where, like, you know, when you don't care no more about where your shoes are untied or tied, but they're still tied on him, eh?
Damn.
Like Joe Diaz.
They fit perfect.
Remember when Joe Diaz had those fucking Dada shoes? He never fucking tied them?
Dude, just slip them on, bro.
He was on Joe Diaz, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Cocksucker, I do the fucking Dada suit, the Dada shoes, and the Dada chain, cocksucker. You know what I'm saying? It's a Tuesday night in Boyle Heights. Where is El Craco?
Oh, man. When I'm on a plane and people recognize me from Cody, they always ask for you and Glenn. They always say, tell them what's up. Like, I remember I met the lady in Georgia. And this lady, she's a big lady. She said, you're a superstar. You're the guy, the crazy guy from the warehouse. She didn't know the name. I said, yeah, that's me. They go, you tell Glenn, I say he's good. It touched a lot of people, man. A lot of people working.
I think a lot of people like it. Yeah.
They love it, man.
That's a badass show,
it's
dude.
It's always good.
Hell yeah,
cool. It's cool to do, man.
That's what I'm saying. They ended it so early, dude.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we did 6 seasons, so I can't be too – I ain't going to complain too much. But yeah, you know, it'd always be good to do more.
Always.
That's funny, man. I got to know your stand-in. He's crazy.
Oh, which – well, the –
You're the doc? Mexican guy. You're standing on the show.
My stand-in was a black dude.
No, before that, you had a Mexican dude.
You mean it was another black dude. He was crazy, though.
Because I saw a guy, this guy that had like a Pete Rose head. He would sit down and like, he would sit in your wheelchair sometime, man, when you're not there. And then sometimes he'll be my stand-in too.
Who was this motherfucker?
I'm telling you, bro. This guy's a mystery, bro.
He's a Mexican dude? You got to tell me about this guy.
I feel like I'm the only one that saw him now. I swear to God, Colton.
I've had two stand-ins on the show. They were both black dudes.
Oh, my God.
One of them were Mexican.
I swear, he better be Venezuelan, well dog. But this guy, bro, this guy got me. This guy will fuck. He was like, I don't know if he was fucking with me mentally, but like, I remember one time we were shooting a scene, and it was a scene where the girl, I can't think of her name, but her mother showed up to the store, and
Cheyenne,
her mother showed up to the store. And Amy was giving her like bad mother advice, so they were conflicting with each other. So, I was pushing like TVs around, right? And my line was, I was about to walk in and interrupt them and go, "Are we talking about Are we making fun of Amy?" And I say, "How about her eyes? How about her hair?" Right? So they told me to make up something, right? Whatever you think is funny. So I came back with, "You gonna make fun of Amy? Or you gonna make fun of her fucking big ass fucking teeth?" I don't know. I said, "Are we making fun of her big ass teeth?" Or something like that, bro. And man, everybody exploded, bro, afterwards. And I could see her over there being, I don't know, bro, self-conscious. She was going like this, "I have big teeth." Right? And then my fucking standing, he walks up to me, bro, like he just sharing his past with fucking total fear, bro. Like, "Bro, you just made fun of the main star of the show. I don't think you're going to ever come back." And fuck, he made it hard for me because I'm your stand-in. And you're looking around all paranoid, bro. And I said, "What do you mean, bro? You're a fucking coach and don't stand-in. What are you talking about?" Anyway, so long story short, I never went back.
Until the last season, right? You came back? So how many seasons were you not on after that?
That was my last show. No. I came back later on for two more episodes for cleaning and safety. But anyways, bro, I never listened to that fucking stand-in, bro. He was nuts.
That's insane, man.
I heard the thing that like stand-ins are just like crazy actors that never got it together. Or they wanted to act. Obviously.
Well, he did. I asked him, bro. I asked him one time, "Give me your email, bro. I can email you on my CD." "Oh, I don't have an email." "What's your Yahoo?" "I don't have one." "What's your Facebook?" "I don't have one." "What's your phone number?" "Coming to my mom's house." He lives with his mom. Come on, man. You don't know who he is?
I don't know who this motherfucker is.
That's a suspect.
Are you serious? He's the stand-in. He's always there.
Wait, is he tall?
Yeah, dude. Here, first of all, me and you have the same skin tone, and he has the same body as you. He has black hair. He wears the vest, the blue vest, and his name is Jose or Juan or Nolan. I don't know his name.
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna have to ask around.
This guy's like a suspect in a crime, bro.
I love this.
Okay, Nolan.
Do you remember that? Dude, I swear to God, like, they told me, whatever comes to your head, "Oh, man, are we making fun of Amy's big-ass teeth?" And then, like, cut. But when I looked to the side, bro, and she was like, "Do I have big-ass teeth?"
You gotta bring America on your show and ask her about that.
And then when a stand-in came in, like, man, I don't know, bro. He's paranoid, bro. For me, bro.
Lost both our jobs.
I'm a day player, bro. You know, whatever. So you didn't hear nothing, right?
I never heard anything about that, man. No, all they right. never said nothing about that.
So when I come back to the show, and then. All the camera guys, bro. I guess they're big What's So Fool podcast fans. They're probably listening right now. And one of them was wearing my shirt at my first show, I guess the show you wrote. And when I looked around, one of them passed by me and goes, I guess we're going to see more of you since Amy ain't here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What did I do? What's going on? And then I saw my stand-in coming all happy and shit. Bro, he looks, his body looks like that. Like the typewriter from Sesame Street. Like he has an upper body just like me, bro. He has a big ass torso. Bro, you never seen this guy?
I think I'm remembering who you're talking about now.
Who is this man of mystery?
Oh, so anyway, man, every time I would go there, I would talk to him and all the standards.
Is he kind of act like he's like kind of like knows everything? Like,
bro, he walks around like he's a charge of producing or something.
Dude, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
He's a script.
He'd always come up to me and talk to me. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, he's I can't remember his name, but yeah, he's like in the know. He does a lot of background work.
He talks about his big thing. He's a big sports memorabilia guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So, if you want Reggie Jackson's poster, he has it.
Not a poster of Reggie Jackson, just a poster Reggie Jackson used to own.
Yeah, dude. So,
I'm the Angels.
When I busted out that line, that fool walked up to me all fucking scared, bro. Like, and I would look at him like, bro, I don't know, man. I guess I'm not into the acting world as much to like fall apart and believe him or run to her and apologize. Or I don't know. I think if I would have run to her and apologize, she would have looked at me like, are you crazy, motherfucker?
She would have been like,
So you're saying that because you made fun of her, you stopped being on the show until she left on the last season.
That's what he said, bro. But see, that's a conspiracy theory. He doesn't know that after that I saw America three more times because she directed Gente Fight.
Yeah.
And we talked on the Gente Fight and then we talked again when the director of the show made that movie Venom.
That you did that Zoom thing with them, with the cast.
Yeah. And then like I think Ruben Fleischer directed Venom, right?
Yeah. What, Ruben?
Yeah. He directed Venom and I'm supposed to be in the next one as Carnage Asada. Oh, check this out, bro. When I was shooting my first scene, I didn't know that there was so much improvising that I had memorized my lines. But what was good for me was that I'm kind of paranoid already, you know, about being caught with drugs because I've been in that scene in every job I've been in and shit where, like, they randomly select people to fucking drug test. I've always been picked first.
What up?
So, like, that scene was perfect. But what was funny about the casting, when I went to go get my fucking uniform, I thought I was going to get a vest like you, homie. I thought I was going to be in the store. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to be in a warehouse. Oh, I see. I'm ugly. I'm going to be to hide my ass. You know, I'm like Craig Robinson. You know, and then in the interviews, it worked out great because I told them that I quit my warehouse job as a forklift driver to play a warehouse guy on television. every role I've gotten after that have all been like tow truck driver.
Yeah, there you go.
Mushroom guru twice.
There you go. Yeah, you mean you're finding a niche, man. You know that's
what oh
you
yeah, man. And,
find a lane.
And I auditioned for the Eric Andre show like this, bro. I sent Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress after season one. I sent him a picture of a video of me with just my underwear on. And I said, hey, man, this is my audition tape for the Eric Andre show. And I was like naked at this. And I kept just doing it over and over.
I guarantee it, you, Eric, love that.
Yeah. And I got to be like all of season five, and he was supposed to go like on a tour in Latin America with the Eric Andre show. So hopefully that will happen next time.
That's fucking dope, yeah. Dude.
That'll be the show. Yeah, man. What's next for you, man? Are you gonna direct and write and be a showrunner?
Yeah, I'm trying to do all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm writing it right now. I'm writing a show for Warner Brothers. But you know, I'm doing a lot of stuff, you know, like, you know, I said, I do sketch stuff. So I'm working on a sketch show right now with Al Madrigal. I'm doing, all sorts of crazy shit. Lots of animated stuff, doing voiceover stuff. You know, that's what I'm, you know, I've been working on while I was doing Superstore. I've been really working on trying to get on more cartoons and shit.
Just that's because where the money's at.
It's good money, but it's also so easy. You don't got to get dressed or anything. You don't got to stay in shape. You just show up.
Stay in shape.
But yeah, man, you know, just enjoy my time, having my, you know, have my schedule a little open, spending time with my kids, just living it.
Word.
That's cool, man. That show was funny, man. I was watching it from day one, and I was laughing my ass off. What made it so funny were all the you know, like when you were a kid and you would read the Mad magazine, but that was funny. But on the bottom, there was little side, hilarious little cartoons that were funny too. Yeah. There's always like a funny side story on the Mad. And that's how I saw like the side characters who didn't talk, like John, you know, and a little old lady.
Oh, Merle.
Murdo, all those people, man, they were all great. They helped build the show. Oh, so getting back to improvising, I remember, like, I didn't know what to say, bro. And I just said, so you have to go now? Dina said, you got to go now? I said, yeah, man, I filled out that paper. John said it was all right. You okayed it. I okayed it. John okayed it. And I remember after that scene, they kept it. And then the old man, John, the Hawaiian guy, came up to me and said, hey, with little eyes like this. Hey, thanks for that plug.
Yeah.
Thanks for that plug.
Dude, John's the best, man. Yeah, the guy who played Brett.
Brett, yeah.
Yeah, well, Brett, man. He's been in every episode. He was on the very first episode of the show, the pilot episode.
Wow.
And he's been in the whole series.
Man, the last scene was the last episode we did. The party one with where everybody had like some kind of a holiday. It was fun.
Oh yeah, the holiday party.
That was kind of like our kind of like goodbye on the show, really. That was like a real party.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I was drinking that day.
Hell yeah, man! I wish I would have taken more stuff off the set.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because
the wheelchair.
Oh shit!
Attention, attention!
Hell yeah! You know what's cool about Cloud Nine? That's like the store for the other NBC shows.
Yeah.
Hey, if you watch your episode of The Office, where it was Michael's birthday and Kevin was he might have skin cancer, they go to a store to buy Christmas cards. And when Pam gets on the microphone, all the employees in there look like Cloud9 employees. They're wearing a white vest, a blue vest.
Oh, crazy!
Yeah, that show. Good Girls, Cloud. They go to the Cloud Nine, and there's another show where they go to Cloud Nine, other NBC shows. Mindy Project too. So that's a pretty cool little Easter egg, you know.
It's funny, man. Like when the fans don't know how things work, they'd be like, "This, Felipe, you should spin off of that show." I said, "All righty," and then what? Yeah, Felipe, you should be on more stuff. Of course I should, eh?
Tell you what, Felipe, I bet you if you called Universal, they'd take that meeting, though.
Bro, I've been like since my first episode on Superstore. Every single year after that, I've been in a pitching meeting. Like I pitched at the first season when I got when I did the show as Cody, and I got like a, I got a TV a development deal with Bobby Bowman and Peter Murrieta and Dustin Ibarra. We had a deal with ABC. We had one of those good deals where it was pay or play. So
yeah,
we got our money first up front, and then we got extra money when we didn't shoot a pilot.
There you go.
And then the second one was they wrote the pilot and they said, nah, we ain't gonna get no money. And the third time, another one, no money. And this time, I came in with some Mexican actor, a real big actor, comedian named Omar Chaparro. And him and I were brothers. And right now, they wrote the pilot for ABC, which is we're waiting to see if they pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah, man. So every year, man, I've been like dealing with a lot of no's. But you know what, man?
Yeah, that's not every year. As long as I
feel like I'm in their faces, I'm keeping busy, and you know what? They put me in their shoulder every once in a while.
Yeah, that's all you got to do, man. I did a pilot every year for 4 years before. So you just got to keep going at it. You know you're good, so
yeah,
just keep doing what you're doing.
Because I know that I know that Carlos Mencia and Dave Chappelle also and Dane Cook for many years, that for like 5 years, 7 years, and then finally got a show. As long as they keep calling you, I feel great. It's as long as you're in the game, you know.
That's it, man. Just be in the game and be funny when they call you.
Oh, man. You know what's funny, man? I didn't know that till like the third time around to be more jovial in front of the networks. I'm pretty much gonna be a clown, bro. What am I, your dancing monkey? Yes, I am. Now, bro, it was funny, man. I don't know if you know the president of NBC in comedy back in 2019, Linda Berry.
Yeah.
Anyways, she's seen me so many times that by the time I saw her the third time, she got up and gave me a hug and a kiss. And then afterwards, I went home feeling paranoid that maybe I shouldn't have done that. I felt like when George Costanza kissed his girlfriend in there.
That's hilarious, dude. You get me too.
Yeah.
Man, the worst when you get a hard pass.
Oh.
I never got a hard pass, but I remember this guy named Bobby Bowman. We went to the ABC network premiere of Other Actors, like when they showcase. And, I didn't want to sit next to that lady, Linda Berry, but this guy wanted to sit over there, right? And I didn't sit over there. And then I just said goodbye from far away, and everybody got up, and they followed me to sit somewhere else. And I remember that guy pumping me up, telling me, you know, there was a lot of buzz on us walking away and sitting down somewhere else. I said, yeah, there was a lot of buzz. Keep walking, motherfucker. I'm trying to see. Who would try to bullshit you with anything, Rodrigo?
Hilarious.
Like, you don't have to make me feel good. I'm a stand-up comedian. I get that satisfaction tomorrow night. Right now, I'm bombing.
It's all about the buzz.
Yeah, man, it's all about the buzz, but it ain't the show, it's the buzz. You don't sell the, it's like Kramer, you don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle.
Pretty much, bro.
That's hilarious, dude.
Well, I hope to one day work with you again on something, Coach and Dunn.
Oh, we'll definitely do that, man, for sure. That's gotta happen.
Hell yeah, man. But we do our Cholo Vampire Killers, bro. Blood in, Blood Out, the musical.
Blood in, Blood Out, the musical.
I'll be Blade.
Hell yeah, man.
Navaja.
I'll be Kaliman. So, Rodrigo, you still doing your podcast?
Yeah, man. We have a new. I had an episode last week. No episode this week.
And Rizzo, what's up?
Yep. Same podcast, and we're gonna do a new podcast, you know, Rodrigo, tomorrow. So yeah.
But we have Los Podcasters del Norte.
This week we're in Oakland, at Nito's backyard. We got tickets available for the second show on Sunday. Everything else is sold out. Also, Virginia next week. We're going to be over there. Butch Escobar, Rachel Wolfson, Rodrigo Torres, and then Miami later on in May. We're going to go back to the improv. You know what's funny, man? I turned into a – before we go, we were in Houston, Texas, and our show was 450 people. Non-maskers, by the way. And
to the core.
And then we tried to go to buy – we went to a little store that was inside the hotel where we're staying at. They were allowing four motherfuckers in at a time. And I was in there, bro. And I said, I was in there. And it's hey, too many people inside. And I just fucking walked away to myself, man. We just left a disease show with 450 people.
Said a disease show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Because the hotel, they're like, yeah, the pool's closed, the gym's closed because of COVID. I'm like, wait, what? But the fucking comedy club across the street is fucking infested with people, you know?
450 people with hot ass breath.
Hot ass.
Do you even have any like plastic up for you?
Nothing, bro. No, not anymore. No, they took it all down.
This balls out, Texas, bro.
Balls out, bro. No, and it was like 50 degrees over there. It was cold.
It's cold, dude. It was getting ready to bust the grid again, dude.
Yeah, man. And a lot of those people, they wanted like a meet and greet. I waited for three quarters of the motherfucker to leave. And I said, whoever's left over is healthy. Anybody sick went home.
They can breathe.
Man, when we were standing in line, we were just saying hi to people. There was like a Houston Police Department officer with us for the meet and greet, make sure nobody gets too close. I saw the police officer stop this redneck guy wearing a fucking Sublime shirt and cowboy boots. And bro, I swear, I don't know what they're dressed like over there.
Where are you going, cowboy?
Dallas Cowboy hat at this. Fucking Sublime shirt, rainbow hippie style, some fucking, I don't know, man. There were like these stonewashed jeans, and like was in the back of his pockets had studs. But anyways, the reason I noticed all this because the cop stopped him and told him, "Sir, you can't go in with that bow knife in there."
Fuck.
So they were going, "Oh," so they had to walk all the way to his truck and put his fucking big old bow knife back in.
Probably walk back to his horse.
Fuck.
In a big ass knife. Man. But in Texas, they don't give a fuck. I remember our Lyft driver picked us up, and I asked him, bro. I was in the back seat, and I asked him, bro, are you packing? I know this is Texas. And if we went like this, bro, what do you think? And they lifted up an AR-15 out of his front seat.
He's just holding on to it like his grandpa thought I was just ready to go.
Never know. You never know when you're going to need it, man.
Yeah, man. You never know when you need to shoot 37 bullets in 3 seconds.
I mean,
fuck.
I mean, he's not even delivering money or drugs or delivering just a person to Whataburger.
You never know what might go down between here and a Whataburger in Texas.
Yeah, man. So Houston, Texas was 20 degrees during the pandemic, during the freezing. It was 20 degrees. The manager at the improv had to boil water to keep his house at 60 degrees. And then when the majority of the state was going to fucking start suing all these electric companies, the governor said, no more masks, and everybody forgot.
They gave us back off free.
Everyone forgot. Like, we did not mention how cold it was the whole time we were on stage.
That's true, huh? I forgot about that. We didn't mention about the snow and all that, or the the snowstorm.
Because the governor said no more masks, and everybody got happy.
Wow. Well, there you go.
They can't work at Superstore on NBC with that attitude.
No.
Because they were monitoring your ass, bro. I remember I had a show out of town, and they told me, well, you can't work if you go out of town. So I said, well, I'll stay in town then. And they said, well, okay, we'll pay you to stay in town. So they paid me to stay in town. And they were monitoring, bro. Like, if I would have posted hanging out with you guys, they would say, what are you doing over there? Hey, if somebody like you and I would have tested positive, well, they would have cut the whole production right there and then?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
I've been lying to a lot of people.
They would have probably tested some people, and then they would have started looking at different scenes that they could have done. But thankfully, they never had to do that on our show.
Wow, bro. My stand-in's a liar.
He told you that we had to shut down?
He said the whole production was shut down.
Who is this?
I'm sorry, bro. That guy knows a little bit of everything that's going down. He just makes up the rest. I'm glad you know who I'm talking about.
You know, like if there's a chance that somebody could have tested positive, they would have had to shut it down. But we didn't get there. Other shows got shut down. But yeah, I don't know. This guy is a mystery to me.
a man of many mysteries.
Yeah, I was showing you his name, but I always forget his name. Crazy guy.
I don't get it.
The liar.
He will come with us anywhere, bro. On the coffee. I saw him sit on your chair many times.
The way you're standing is making me remember this one guy. I'm like, oh, it's gotta be that guy.
He's like this, bro. Like, and he's like, his face is like this. Hey.
Perfect standing.
Oh, shit.
Crazy.
And when he wears the vest, he always had his hands like this. He's like a robot. And he's always talking to like the old guys.
They have wisdom.
Man. So what's your Instagram? People can follow you.
Hey man, what's up, fools? If y'all want to follow me, you can follow me at Captain Dope. That's CaptDope. That's on Instagram and Twitter. Captain Dope. Colton Dunn on Facebook. Come find me, man. Listen to Voyage of the Stars. It's a podcast.
What's up, fool? Also, shout out to those people that we ran into at the airport who went to the Vintage Flea Market Festival in Houston, Texas.
The con, right? The convention? Yeah.
And I cannot wait to go to one of those and buy me a badass concert shirt.
Be badass.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd be a nerd, bro, but I'm really into that vintage shit, bro.
There's a bunch of cool shit out there. I want to
get me an old-ass shirt. What's up, fool? Oh, that weirdo guy that walked around with one of the guys, before we go, man, he was walking around, bro, with a fucking... He had a belt, and he had a Macho Man doll and a Wayne Gretzky doll. Just walking like that, bro.
tucked into his shirt?
He was carrying it, bro, like they were his toys on his chest.
They were his babies.
They were like this big, bro. And it wasn't even a clean Macho Man, bro. He was a little dirty.
Missing a leg.
Let me tell you, brother. Yeah, man. He was a fluffer or whatever those puffy guys are that dressed up real fluffy. What do they call
it? I don't think that's what a fluffer is, dude.
Furbies?
A Furby.
A Furby.
He was a fur boy.
A furry.
Submissive furry.
He was a furry, but he was starting off. You
know, fluffer's a little different.
I told him I was a My Little Pony guy. He got offended, bro.
Oh, you told him you were a brony?
Yeah. Well, don't lie. I'm into Care Bears, homie. What's up, fool? Thank you for clearing up that drama Superstore for me. I can't wait to ask Amy now.
Oh, yeah, you gotta bring her on the show. You gotta talk to her about them big ass teeth.
I swear to God, bro. He looked at me and said, bro, you don't see her over there crying over doing this? Fuck.
No spin. All right, man. You, homie.
Thank you very much. James Callahan over there looking like Father Greg Boyle. Thank you very much. And thank you, Colton Dunn.
Thank you, bro.
What up, fool? Thank you, guys.
Later, guys.
Later, man.
Later.
Give me that Louis.
Tomorrow, fool.
All right.